Log Talk Radio.
On Wheels Now.
Welcome to On Wheels Now, your inside look at local motorsports. Live from Las Vegas, January 25th, 2022. I want to thank everyone for joining us. If you're waiting for Facebook Live, just wait a few minutes. Matt's going to be a few minutes late, so as soon as he gets in, he'll hook us up. Unless you want me to go over there and start hooking us up.
No.
All right, so no. Go ahead and just start talking. So.
Just do what you're doing.
Yeah, hosting along with myself tonight. The man that's always on a mission, Gary Wyatt.
How you doing? How's it going?
Oh, man. You know how it goes.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I do.
Right.
Believe it or not, I do.
So, yeah, cool. Well, at least you're kind of smiling, right?
I'm always smiling. I always got a smile on my face.
Great guest for you tonight, Jim Sherrard.
Right.
If I can screw up a name, you know, that if anybody can screw up a name, that would be me. So apologize.
No worries.
If I did. So.
Not a problem.
But nice seeing you, man. It's been about half a year already.
Yeah.
Been a little bit of time, huh?
He was busy over the weekend. So.
Mm-hmm.
He was quite busy over the weekend.
You know, that brings up a thing. Like, you know, I didn't even know about this race that was out there until Gary brought it up to me. And to me, that's an issue because, like, maybe they advertise. I don't know. But it seems like they should, like, cross-promote between, like, the drag strip people and the dirt track and the asphalt track and the super speedway. And you know, we're in the racing industry. Hell, we even talk about racing every week.
Four times a month.
How many years now? You know, and I didn't hear about this race.
Ten years,
a week or two ago. So,
yeah.
At least for Gary here, believe it or not, and I didn't even hear about the race. That's pretty sucky.
Yeah, I don't think the track actually did any advertising. You know, as far as LVMS, all the advertising that I saw was through the promotion company. But I don't know. As soon as I heard rumors about it, I was on there.
Just hear about it through somebody else?
They're actually the promotions company that put on the Dirt Nationals in Bristol.
Oh, okay.
So I started kind of following them on social media once, you know, we heard news of Bristol and then kind of watching highlights and whatnot. And So
kind of, before we get too far, so what Jim Sherrard's talking about is, there was actually a race at Vegas on the half-mile dirt track this past weekend, and it was a multi-day race, if I'm not mistaken, more than one race. And what days?
They had practice night on Wednesday, full show Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Wow. And then what divisions?
They ran what they called the open modifieds, which include the multiple different sanctioning bodies.
Okay. It wasn't like an IMCA sanction or anything?
No, it was not a specific sanction.
Okay.
They had like four or five different sanction
rules
that were all allowed. And there were some, there were some specifics as far as, I know there was some tire, you know, something to do with tires on them. And they were allowed to change spoilers on certain ones or whatnot, so they kind of came together. And
so they had open modifieds.
They had open modifieds, dwarf cars, the Western States, that association. They used their rule set on that. They had the West Coast Sport Compacts.
Oh, really?
So the mini stocks, which they put on a hell of a show. And then the hobby stocks, either IMCA or USRA rules.
Either,
yeah,
if you were running an IMCA, you ran your IMCA rule.
Yeah, you had to meet all their all their roles. And then they ran the sprint cars. It was a series based out of Texas.
Oh.
I believe it's called BOSS, B-O-S-S.
Are they a winged sprint or
yes.
a non-winged?
Yeah, they're really? Winged. Okay. As far as the engine specifics, I couldn't tell you. But I do know that there were some like smaller teams there that were I overheard them running. They were running 305s.
Oh, interesting.
And
so
against
kind of a limited,
410s.
Probably a limited
so,
engine.
Yeah.
Wow.
The only other thing that I actually paid attention to is they didn't allow the wing sliders where
okay.
they can adjust them
right.
while they're in the
while
car.
They're in the, yeah.
And I do believe that they had to run the same rear tires throughout the show.
Event. Wow.
Yeah. So each night they could replace the tires the next day, but they had to run the same rear tires in the heat race as they did in the main event.
Okay.
So they obviously there were quite a few that exploded the right rear.
Well, how about the car counts?
The hobby stocks wasn't great, which worked out into my advantage. So I'm not going to complain.
Was a hobby stock?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, all hobby stock from Perum. So
okay.
The rest of the fields were pretty good. The first race night on Thursday, there were several B mains.
Oh, no way.
So
no,
they,
that's a good turnout.
Yeah, for an inaugural event. And like you said, you didn't even know about it. So
yeah.
I'm sure there's a ton of people that didn't know about it.
That's insane.
And, you know, maybe that's something that XR needs to know, if they enjoy doing the shows
right.
here, which they put on the Duel. It's the
same
company.
Same organization
yeah.
did the Duel.
Yeah.
Here. Okay.
So, maybe someone needs to tell them, hey, you know,
right.
have your social media people reach out
right.
because people didn't know about it. But,
because that's something that, you know, I think as an organization that is not just local, they don't focus on this is just me speculating, but maybe they don't focus on local advertising where you would
right.
think the track would step in and say, hey,
I agree.
You know, cause technically this organization is renting the track
right.
is what it is. And they're holding their own event. But you would think that for the track recognition, the local LVMS would want to put it out there and say, hey, look, we have a half mile dirt track here and we're actually going to have a race on
yeah.
it and
yeah.
so on and throw. And maybe they did put advertising out, but not in any of the places that I was in.
I don't know
like
if I saw
emails?
Anything.
especially the very first, the emails.
Even on their social media, I don't know if I can
right.
recall seeing anything on LVMS's social media about it,
mm-hmm. right.
to be honest, which is a shame. You know?
Yeah. Especially an event like that. It's
yeah.
like being promoted by
yeah.
a huge organization.
Yeah. And it was good. It was a good event.
It was,
it was my first big show.
Have you raced a half mile before?
I have years ago. With,
back
when
in
I was
the day
racing with Gary, yeah.
Did they call them Thunderstocks back then? Or
they were bombers.
Still call them bombers?
Yeah.
Okay.
We were filler for sprint cars and
yeah.
modified one time. That one was kind of a trip. You know, we're out there in our bomber cars, Gary and I,
yeah.
racing each other. And we can see these famous sprint car drivers
right.
like hanging on the fence to watch us and our old beat up cars.
Yeah.
Banging
and
yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
that's excitement.
These
you know?
Big name sprint car drivers. So that was always kind of cool.
That's fun.
Yeah.
That's fun. So but, what was it like being back out on the half mile? But now with a different car, of course.
Yeah,
you have a hobby stock, which is, what do you run, a Chevy Camaro?
Those classes all have to run metric chassis, so
only,
it's a Monte Carlo.
Do they don't allow Camaros?
No.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Which doesn't hurt my feelings.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, for so many years, the Camaro classes have been so dominant.
In around the Midwest and whatnot, it's pretty much all metric.
So what do you run?
Monte
Carlo.
Yeah, it's like
70s,
an 85.
Okay.
85 Monte Carlo. It was an old asphalt street stock at some point.
Right.
So I had to make a lot of changes on it to be able to do, you know, what I did with it. But,
I mean, what kind of tires do you guys?
We were limited to a specific size. It's like a 205 70 15
but
DLC street tire.
Street
yeah.
Tire. Okay.
Yeah. Unaltered.
Oh, you
can't
like cut them or
yeah,
shave
no,
them.
You can't alter
that.
Them at all. No compounds on them or anything.
Did they actually check though?
I don't know. I never finished high enough. I didn't finish high enough to get into tech.
Oh, that sucks.
So,
okay.
But, and there are, you know, these guys, like the group from Iowa that came down, they all use a specific tire in the Midwest. Unfortunately, it's a very hard tire to find here.
Right.
It's been very challenging to even find a local place that can order them. So they're a little bit hard to come by because of that. So, but
did you feel like the cars were fairly equal as far as the what they got?
Within their group, I would say yes. I didn't have anything for them.
Right.
And I knew that going in. I had, you know, a specific goal that I wanted out of the whole event, which was to get out there, get on the track with some, you know, drivers of that caliber and finish.
Right.
You know, I wanted to finish my first big event, and I did accomplish that. It was a little questionable at times.
Right.
I had a series of issues with transmissions and parts and this and that. So, but no, it was...
How about the entry? You know, was it a fair entry fee to get in and payback?
So this company, XR, they offered a promotion where as soon as they opened up registration, which was in November, for this event and the one that's coming up next month out there as well. Don't know if you knew about that one yet.
No.
Okay, we'll talk about that
Okay, I'm glad.
We'll talk about that one. But if you... pre-registered within the first, I think, 2 to 3 weeks.
Right.
It was free.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So you just had to pay for a pit pass.
That's smart because they want to get the kind of RSVP right away and you know how many.
So I was on it. I'm like, chance to run a big show, I'm in, you know.
Sweet.
So I got in there. It was free entry. It went up incrementally as it got closer to the date, you know.
I see.
To be honest, I don't know
what the increments were.
Yeah, I don't know.
The final entry was.
If you drove up that day, I don't know what it would have cost you the day up. But and the pit pass for the entire week was like $75.
Oh, that ain't bad.
So basically it cost me $80 with the fee for, we went over whatever company they use. As far as payouts, the payouts were guaranteed.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. It was not contingent on car count.
Just this is what it is.
Yep.
And if you fit whatever finishing position, this is your guaranteed payout.
Which really worked out for me.
So it actually was in your favor.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah. You don't hear that too often with racer, you know, nowadays. So.
But they, even if it was a full field of cars, they paid back to 24th.
Wow.
Each night. So. It was...
We could have just showed up with something and just got a payout.
Had the tow truck push us around the track.
Yeah, act like we can't start it. There's no engine.
As long as you start the main event, I was in. So, Saturday night, the payouts were more. And then they also... So it was $500 to win Thursday and Friday for our class. It's $750 to win on Saturday.
Wow.
And they added a bonus that the highest finishing car on Saturday night in each one of the main events, as far as each class, the first competitor or the highest finishing competitor on an open trailer, they doubled it.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting. So they went around and kind of scoped out.
Yeah. So, well, you know, they know.
Yeah, that's true.
When they come through or when you register. Yeah.
Right.
It may have even actually been a question.
Did you win that?
I did not. one of the boys from Iowa specifically towed all the way from Iowa with an open trailer.
Because
so,
of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there were three of them in a big enclosed tractor trailer.
That's cool.
But
did they bring those cars, just those, or did they bring like modified and stuff like that too? Or did they just haul it all the way down from Idaho?
Yeah, they just
for
came, just,
that hobby,
yeah,
they, whatever, the hobby stock.
Yeah, that's all they had in that truck was
no
hobby stock.
Kidding. Wow.
Yeah, they came, I was telling Gary, the guy that won each night, he swept it for good reason. He won the Super Nationals last year.
Okay.
So, like I say, top-notch driver.
No stranger to the hobby.
The cars were amazing. You know, they're all pro-built cars. Makes me kind of jealous, but, you know, we'll get there someday. We'll get there.
You go look at some of the cars to see some of the stuff they put in there.
Absolutely. Yeah, because I had questions. You know, I've been working to make my car with the IMC rules.
Were there any similar to yours?
They're all metric.
They're all metric
Monte Carlos.
Okay, so that's cool to go see.
Yeah.
What that kind of competition has and what they bring.
Right. You know, they were very, very gracious. First of all, you know, the first night I'd gone over there after the race, and I told them, I was like, you know, I want to thank you guys for coming.
Right.
Because, you know, you're bringing this to Vegas. And secondly, you know, thank you for, you know, dealing with me, because I know I'm slower and I know I'm kind of squirrely and all over the place. And they were like, no, you know, thanks for coming out. You know, very nice guys. The whole group from Iowa, they were very, very cool. Any questions I had, they had no problem. You know, they're like, go ahead, look at the cars, you know. And so, you know, because I had specific questions about mounting the seat. You know, IMC has specific rule about how far back you can mount the seat. Well, I have a little bit of a problem with that, obviously. So it turns out one of the guys that was over there was actually 6'5". And, you know, they kind of explained how they, you know, how they got around this or, you know. And one of the guys was actually like, hey, hop in the car.
Really?
I'm like, okay.
So, right? Can I load it on my trailer?
Right. So there I am. I'm climbing into this guy's car.
That's
and,
cool, though.
And he's like, yeah, see how it fits, you know.
What did it feel like? Did it,
it was amazing.
What you were going for?
Oh, it was amazing. I could stretch my legs out. It's somewhat comical seeing me in my car right now because it's, you know, the
your
cage
legs
is
are
so much,
bent up.
I mean, I have to lift my left leg to hit the brake, you know.
Did you figure a way to eliminate that problem? Because
new car.
Oh, really?
Yeah, unfortunately, the way the cage is built, I can't really move any of the bars because it's the backside of the main cage. So, but like I say, they were awesome. They were very courteous. You know, like I said, they could have just been, you know, who is this clown? But no, they were like, you know, come on, you know, check it out. And
did they mention what track they're from? And are you familiar with that?
All over Iowa.
They
Iowa pretty much travel around. Like I said,
I was just wondering if, like,
Iowa,
their specialty was like on a shorter track, like a.
Oh, they run everything.
They run half
They run everything.
The dirt.
Yeah, they were not afraid of that track coming apart on, like, Friday night. It was starting to chunk because of the wind, and it did not faze them at all. They were like, this is great, you know.
That's
so they're used to dealing with all different track conditions. And, you know, the crew out there, they did a phenomenal job. When we were out there Thursday, you know, it was still a little slick because it's freshly prepped. You know, they'd been working on it for several weeks.
Right. I was going to say, they usually start weeks in advance.
Yeah, so it was a little slick and, you know, it was getting used to it. It was nice and smooth and all that. They did tremendous work on it. And then Friday comes around and, you know, obviously it deteriorates a little bit. They still prepped for that night, but it deteriorates some. And I just swore that, you know, there was something wrong with my car. It just wouldn't get out of its own way. Well, I was getting so much traction. That's unheard of. I've never had that much traction, you know, running locally here. You know, obviously there's better track prep, but, you know, I thought it was broken cause it just wouldn't go. Well, it wasn't spinning
that's
the tires
funny.
At all. So, but the car, you know, I got faster every night. So, I was happy with that, you know, getting a feel for the track and, those conditions and whatnot, and just how hard I can send that thing off into the corner before it's, you know, up into the wall.
Did you have to do any gear changes?
I changed transmissions on mine, which it was undergeared. It didn't have enough. I wasn't getting the RPM up that I needed to be in.
Sure.
But the guys were very cool about it. They told me what gear they were running, and it wasn't really that far off. And one of them had told me, it's going to be tough. He's like, these crate motors have just gobs of torque. He's like, if you had had a crate.
And then, it had a low.
Yeah, he's like, you'd have been able to keep up with us.
Wow.
So definitely need to work on my motor game.
I mean, you run a... within your rules, which is probably just a factory.
Yeah, basically. It's got to be 9.5 to 1 or 9 to 1. Yeah, stock heads, you know, specific
blocks. So I guess the only difference is if you went to a the 602 or mm-hmm. whatever the Crate Motor is talking about is the Vortec head, so you probably gain an extra 50 horse.
Yeah, they said
like
that the torque advantage.
You would have a different torque range at a different RPM.
But yeah, so all I changed from as far as running in Pahrump and Tonopah, I just changed transmission.
Okay.
I typically run Power Glide in
you
low range.
You mind me asking what kind of roughly what gear they – was it an end gear that they – said like a 355? Or?
Yeah. In mine, I still have the stock rear end, so I run 342s.
Okay.
They were running a 529 in a 9-inch board.
At the okay.
Yeah. So
they have a little bit of a lot of advantage, I guess. So unless you ran – so if you ran second gear, then you were probably whining out too much. And then
second gear, I stuck a turbo 350 in it. And second gear is like a 1.52,
mm-hmm.
so it put me right about 512,
so 513. Just under a few hundred RPM.
Yeah, so I was getting up to maybe 5,400 RPM
right.
is all.
Not
so not even in the power band of the cam.
Right,
so.
5,800 is probably
yeah.
what
you
need to be.
So lesson learned. You
yeah,
know. We'll hopefully have a 9-inch before then
cool.
for next year. So. Which I hear that
Gary, we got a show coming up that
yep.
we got to race at.
Uh-huh.
Next year.
Yes,
next year.
Jimmy, let me know so I can get on that free entry.
There
yeah,
you
right
go.
You go. That 2 weeks was crucial. So.
That's
yep.
right.
Follow XR. they basically said yes, it's happening next year.
Okay.
I am
now,
not the authority on that, so don't
right,
hold
so
me to that.
We'll
but
look it up. We'll show the website.
There are no dates yet, but
so
they do want to do it again.
Was this race part of like a mini series that they're doing within?
Not this one.
Okay.
The bigger ones that they've
but
got
they
kind of established. Yes. They've got to deal with the their super late models, the series that they run like at Bristol and whatnot. They've got a deal right now where
now you keep saying Bristol, is that on the asphalt?
The dirt. When
okay,
they
have
when
dirt.
They, yeah, when they dump the dirt on there, that's the XR.
The one you got to ride. Okay. I was not privy to that.
Yeah, that's the promotion company that did that.
Okay. Gary was one of the lucky ones to
that's
be able to
right.
see that.
Yeah, no, it's
I can't miss the next one.
Yeah. So they're running a
cool.
series with the late models. If you and don't quote me, but it's something like if you win at two of the tracks,
mm-hmm.
the big show at two of the tracks, it's like $300,000 or something.
Oh,
so they're doing some kind of a series like that.
So they got some deep pockets.
Yeah. So, and again, you can go on their social media and it's got flyers for all of it and it explains it. But yeah, they're definitely dumping some money into the race next month, which is you're gonna have to look it up.
Where's that one at?
It's at the half mile
again. Okay.
It's IMCA modifieds,
okay.
IMCA sport mods, and IMCA stock cars,
but not IMCA sanctioned. You don't think they're running the IMCA rules probably, or you don't know
that? I'm not 100% sure on that. You'd have to look at their
but it is the IMCA hobby stock rules, which you
well no stock cars.
Oh, so I'm just finding the hobby stock or the IMCA
yeah this
stock
one
cars.
Yeah, this one you didn't have to have like IMC membership
right.
per se, but it had to meet their rules.
Right.
So,
wow.
But yeah, I'm not sure if the February event is IMCA sanctioned.
Okay. We don't got a lot of time to get our bombers ready, do we? He's like, please shut your mouth.
Well, I just need more to do.
The IMCA stock cars are no joke.
I have a wife too.
Yeah, the stock cars are no joke. I don't know. I kind of think of them. They're like a modified with a body on them. They're screamers.
So that's their street stock.
Yeah, basically they're called stock cars.
Okay.
You know, full weight jacks. I'm not sure what their limitations
are. I've wondered that myself. Like, what are the differences in something like that versus, let's say, a modified or something like that? You know, because they do, like, they run a slab body.
Right.
They kind of seem a little more open, but there are some other limitations.
As far as the motor rules, I think they might be pretty similar to the sport mods, you know, most of the sport mods. You can run a 602 crate motor with a 4-barrel,
okay.
or you can run an open motor with a 2-barrel.
Two-barrel, right.
So I think it's similar to that with the Don't quote me. And it's a 4412 carburetor on the stock cars, whereas the hobby stocks are the Rochester 2-jet specific.
Really?
So
that's weird.
That the stock cars can run, they still have to run a four link rear end, but they can run weight jacks. They run racing tires. You know, they run the Hoosiers. More aftermarket suspension stuff.
So technically, isn't that Hoosier tire a DOT rated tire? Couldn't you run that on your
no.
No?
No,
they specifically say no.
No, it says right on, not for highway use.
They specifically says that. Okay, I thought it was actually rated DOT because of that for IMC or whatever.
No,
but, okay.
The tires we have to run are these horrible skinny tires. Yeah.
Are they seven inch?
We have to run 7-inch rim, where stock cars can run the 8-inch rim.
Oh.
And I believe they can run beadlocks on both right sides, where we can't.
Have you ever had a problem breaking a bead, though?
No, but
we're talking about it. We won't do that. Sorry.
No, haven't broke one out. I get kind of scared running them too low on air pressure, so I'm always like, I'll put another pound in there just to be safe.
Right.
And I don't know. I guess some people run tubes in them. I haven't had any issue with them yet. So.
Yeah. Well, cool. Looking forward to that. So we'll have to keep an eye out for the actual race date.
Yeah, like I said, it's called the Working Man Nationals.
Okay.
And
you're already pre-registered?
No, that's the one coming up next week or next month.
That's
right?
What I'm saying.
Do you
have to pre-register for that? I said pre-register because there's a 2-week free window. But
no, they're not running the hobby stocks. Well, they did.
Oh,
it.
They're not.
Yeah,
oh.
They did do it. They did the promotion.
But they're not running hobby stocks.
No, it's just the three classes.
And there's nothing that you can fall in line with.
No.
Even.
I mean, no.
Kinda.
No. I embarrassed myself enough with the actual class.
Can you just go run something and just go get practice, basically?
That's a good question. I don't know if they probably
run around the back.
Yeah,
and just get your entry, guaranteed entry.
I mean, I guess
they
I could throw some Hoosiers on, but
you know?
Something tells me they're going to bring quite a few of the stock cars, because there's actually.
Well, those are just quite a few in different
areas. You know, Mojave runs the IMCA sanction now, you know,
they got
4 hours away.
In Northern California, Bayland, places like
that. There's a lot of them in California that are IMCA sanctioned now. Utah, they've got several. I think there's three of them that are IMCA sanctioned within a drive from here. So, and that's ultimately what we wanted to do. Was, you know, I wanted to make mine meet the IMC rules.
Right.
That way I can say, hey, you know,
so
the race in Utah, let's go. I know it's going to meet
that,
the rules, you know.
Was that an option that just came up because the situation at Pahrump? Because did you typically race at Pahrump? That was your track. And now this year, so far, they've shut down the schedule for Pahrump because they're possibly in a sale.
Right. I had wanted to build it to meet the IMCA rules anyway, just for that reason. If we decided to, we just wanted to pack up the car and, you know, go to one of those tracks. Pahrump always said that they mirror the IMCA rules, but they allow Camaros. So they don't really.
Yeah, and that's why I was wondering about that, because I thought, because of that, I thought IMCA rules allowed Camaros.
Yeah,
no. 8-inch. I didn't know.
There are
know that, so.
The big sanctions. There aren't very many that actually allow Camaros to run with the metric cars.
Interesting.
Unless it's, you know, like a West Coast street stocks or something. You know, a different sanction. But majority of them don't. I think you can the Crate Racing USA. I think they still run one that Camaros are good. But so that was the plan, was to all along for me was to make it IMCA legal. So, like I said, in case I just decided one weekend, hey, I want to go race at this IMCA track, because I think that, you know, there is something to be said for the IMCA sanctioned tracks. They're a little more stringent on the way people drive.
Right.
You know, people that, you know. Cheating, or you know,
you're right. You know, when you show up there, you're probably going to be just as equal as somebody else for the most part.
Right, and as a point of reference, if you watch any of the video from the main event, you know, those four guys that came from Iowa, all four of those cars were dead even. They were all four together.
That's cool.
Every race, they were all four together. So it just goes to show that,
right.
the sanctioning body is
right.
doing something right.
Yeah, absolutely.
They can all run together. And it speaks volumes for them because they can run together like that,
right.
They're not bouncing off of each other or, taking each other out. So, but that was the plan all along, was to try to meet the IMCA rules.
Well, and that's something too, the way they do their points system is something that you can travel different tracks if you want to.
Yeah.
And if you don't, then depending on, where you're
right.
set at the point at that time, you're still, you still have a chance to win like their national
right.
points and things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah. It's very similar to like the NASCAR sanctioning,
right.
the way they used to do the INEX, is that what they call them
yeah.
now? I don't
yeah.
know. The legend cars, they can come down to Vegas where it's snowing everywhere
right.
else and still be gaining points. So, but I think everybody that was from the Midwest and whatnot, they all had a good time. They weren't really fazed by the weather.
They probably thought
I was.
They probably thought it was nice and warm down here. If you're just joining us, are we on Facebook?
You
live?
We are.
Thank you, Matt. Matt had to get in here a little bit late. We appreciate you coming in and getting us on.
You know how people like to wreck their cars on the expressway?
Sometimes it happens. Now you got more flowers to deliver later. Right? Of course, you're just joining us,
sure.
too. We got Jim Sherrard with us. Appreciate you being here.
Ooh,
and
thank you for having me.
Talking about the race that you just had this past weekend at the Half Mile Dirt Track, which, surprisingly for some people, they didn't know about, which is me, until somebody told me about it. But it is a event that was put on by a big company, a national
yeah, XR,
company,
yeah.
XR. And they do have other races scheduled as close as even next month here
yeah.
at Vegas at the Half Mile Dirt
yeah,
Track.
I believe their website is racexr.com. And you can there's flyers for all of them on there.
Okay.
And all the different series
that
they run.
So with that, do you think that a lot of the sponsorship is moving from the pro level, from NASCAR and Xfinity down to the local tracks?
I don't think so. I've never seen any of that myself. So I know they always talk about it.
It seems like this past year with the new gen cars, there's a lot of back and forth with different sponsors. Some have dropped out. New ones have come in.
Well,
so I wonder if a lot of these sponsors decided to move down.
No, what I think what's happening is why you're seeing some of that is because the big sponsors used to put out big money. One company's put out big money to one specific team or something like that. Where now
they can sponsor a whole series.
Well, where now they're not getting that same kind of money from the same company, so they have to go to smaller companies or smaller amounts from these same companies, which already sponsor like other local. Not local. I'll say local, but they're really not local. But local, other teams and companies and things like that.
It just seems like a lot of sponsors have been stepping up to help out the short tracks.
I don't think so. If that was the case, we would see it here locally with the LVMS, the Super Speedway. It would be trickling down, and you don't see any of that. That's
right.
why I didn't even hear about this race, and then a lot of people probably
like
have it. So we would have probably heard that same trickle down.
Huh.
Yeah, because like I say, to me, it's like almost a shame on LVMS for not doing this.
Absolutely.
And I don't know. Maybe they've got their money for the rental, and they don't really – aren't bothered by it. But
we don't know.
But it's a disservice to race fans, obviously.
It's a disservice to the local racers we're not in it to become the next, superstar out at the Super Speedway. We're just here locally. This is a track in our backyard. That's part of our lives.
Right.
Exactly.
It's a hobby, but it's part of our lives.
And how many racers are at the Bullring? So let's say
not even just the Bullring, we've got the dirt track that sits there.
Yeah.
Okay,
here.
So
luckily
so between the two, 100, 150 racers, 150 families, those are all going to the big track for the NASCAR race for the most part. So you're looking at 500 tickets.
Well, I was talking about that earlier, that they should cross-promote. They should cross-promote between the dirt track and the drag strip and the Super Speedway and the Bullring and, But they don't seem
no
to
everything
do that.
Seems separate like yeah
right.
we do our thing.
Well,
I
would assume that a lot of the companies want paid for
yeah
you know like,
well,
hey, if we're gonna we're right. going to advertise your race, you know.
Well, that's it too. So there's there's probably not a lot of cross promotion contracts going on where if I'm going to promote a drag race, let's say with whatever I'm whatever it is, then maybe I don't want to spend the extra money that they want to.
I know Cindy Clark was saying that the Bull Ring has picked up a couple of sponsors to help with the race, and they're going to try to. Do live television for a couple of the races.
Right.
So hopefully that kind of helps and takes care of some of the sponsors.
It all helps, but but as far as going back to what your question was, I don't think so that you don't see any, big
right. If you look at these, for instance, XR, these series, like this one, Duel in the Desert was sponsored by Carl Customs. They're the Bill Crate Motors for the dirt track racer. I mean, probably asphalt racing too, but
mostly,
it's not like, normal person's going to be like, oh, I need to replace the engine in my
CT.
Whatever,
track,
So, I think that's probably a little different as far as that goes. These, hometown chassis manufacturers that are sponsoring these series, one is called B&B. I know they do something with Boone or the Super Nationals.
Okay.
So, I think it's a little different, scale.
Okay.
But as far as them dropping from NASCAR,
I'm just noticing just a lot of movement with the sponsors between in racing. And just these pop-up events showing up pretty much across the country.
This is a new star promoter because they're the ones that kind of picked up the slack with the Duel in the Desert.
Yeah,
this is
the third year that they've, this last year was the third year that they've been hosting it. And obviously it's getting better.
Yeah.
I think at one point it was really kind of run down into the ground, with the contracts for track prep and
at least they started with you got to start with something, whether it doesn't mean it was perfect, but now you can see what you got to work with, and now you can
and as far as being around the other drivers, everybody else seemed to be pretty happy with what they were doing. They alluded to the fact that the dirt track was going to be used a whole lot more in the wintertime. Take that as
I hope so.
I'm hoping maybe that means maybe the winner's series. I don't know.
Right.
It's hearsay, but wishful thinking there. That would be pretty awesome. Race each month.
Well, imagine that. You're an asphalt racer, then your season ends, and then let's say you have a bomber, have a bomber type division in the dirt, and go race the dirt.
Yep.
You race all year long.
Yep.
Theirs just perked up.
Yeah.
quite
a few of these dirt modified drivers around this area.
Right.
That they don't race here.
Yeah.
Colin Hibden, the kid's he's an amazing driver. How often do you see him race in Pahrump, his hometown?
Right.
He's traveling. He's big events. Well, start holding more big events here.
And that's true, and
because there's a lot of them out there.
One part of those big events pays out, like you said, a guaranteed payout. So it's worth their while to travel. Let's say, I don't know how many 8 hours or something like that somewhere, with the expenses and all that, and still get a payout. And maybe they're in IMCA points or something like that. It's worth their while to travel a couple the closest tracks that they can.
Right. Yeah. There are a lot of them that. A lot of these local drivers that, they were in Yuma the last two weekends.
Okay.
I think some of them are actually in Central Arizona.
Well, it would make sense to have a winter series in Vegas if they can't race like in Wyoming, wherever it is, Iowa, when they're getting put in, but they can come down and do like a few races down.
Right.
In,
especially when there's a world-class dirt track sitting there, being used.
A half mile. Right.
One
of the best, on the west area.
It's amazing. The pits are all paved.
And you got the grandstand. I don't know how many. They got to be over 5,000, 7,000,
Tremendous setup there.
At least.
you know, you're not having to use porta potties. I mean, it's a nice facility.
Yeah, very nice. And they held World of Outlaw events, another big event.
And unfortunately, that was like one of the only, you know, what they hold two events there a year, the World of Outlaws during NASCAR weekend and then the Duel in the Desert. So it's a shame that it just has sat there idle, you know.
No, that's cool. So hopefully if those rumors are true, then you know,
it says hearsay. Just me wishing, but
you had a dream about it. Right.
I'm hoping because, like I said, everybody seems positive both on the on the promotion side.
If we all gossip
and
about it, maybe somebody will think it's true and be like, "Hey, isn't there right? Yes, there is," and they'll just make it happen.
But yeah, you can check out their website. They've got a ton of big events.
That Working Man National you're talking about is February 9th through the 12th.
Okay,
at the dirt track.
Days. Okay.
Well, the first day is just registration and practice,
And
that February 9th is the grandstands are free that night. So if you want to go watch.
On the 9th?
Yeah, on the 9th, Wednesday.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
It should be a good time. And they're running the same promotion with that race. The highest finishing driver with an open trailer, they'll double the payout.
Wow.
So, I mean, if you are fortunate enough to win, you know, the A feature, I mean.
Or if you have an old enclosed, get your saws off.
Right.
There
you go.
Cut the top. I don't know how good this payout
is. Park Gary's trailer.
Park it around the corner and,
use the saws off.
That modified, if you won that with an open trailer, that'd be a $5,000 payout.
No way.
Yeah, it's $2,500 to win and.
Yep.
Yeah,
Gary's trailer rental.
That's right.
So
for half of what you get on your payout, I'll rent you a trailer.
Who's racing on this February 9th race?
Modifieds. Hold on, I got to get back in there.
Oh, sorry about that. No sound effects this time.
No, that was on the other website.
Right.
The Midwest Mods.
Okay.
The Southern Sport Mods.
Okay, so they're not really. It doesn't say IMCA.
No.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry. IMCA style.
Okay, so they're not
Southern
sanctioned probably, but they're running their
rules.
If
you dig into their page, it probably says, you know.
Must meet the IMCA rules.
Right.
Okay.
Cool. USRA Limited Mod.
Okay.
Whatever that is.
Yeah, that's interesting. Okay.
And then IMCA Type Northern Sport Mods.
Okay. Yeah, because I know in the past, this has been years ago, the Northern Sport Mods used to be the only ones that had like a crate motor and a spoiler and this, that, and the other, but they've changed over the years, so I don't know.
Gotcha. I don't know the difference between them,
right.
The Northern and the Southern ones, to be honest. It's kind of
an
open sport mod, if you will.
Mods, sport mods, and stock cars.
And that's the street stocks that you're talking about. They're not... So, it's not like your factory stock or a bomber stock or anything. You're talking the street stocks, which is almost like a modified. They got a slab
I'm bouncing
body.
Around in this website. So
they're most of them are obviously pro belt cars. And,
right.
They're fast.
I don't know. Did we see them evolve over time? I remember back in Pahrump. Years and years and years ago, they used to have a kind of a mix of the slab body cars, but they also had the ones that had full, you know, steel bodies on them, like a regular street stock racing together. And then eventually they just kind of all went to the slab, you know, the fabricated slab bodies and four link suspension and all this other.
Yeah. I don't even know what they call them anymore, to be honest. It was kind of a run what you brung. When it comes to those, you know, that type, but yeah, they've got obviously a proven rule set,
right.
You know, they've been successful for how many years, and when you can get a group of them together and they run that close with each other, obviously says something for your,
absolutely.
For your administration that.
Cool. Cool. I'm actually looking forward to that. That might be something.
Yeah,
you're busy then.
I know, that's the problem. Damn it. We'll sneak away for an hour or two.
You're going to a racetrack. There's no hour or two.
Although I do have to say another kudos to XR. They they ran things very smoothly as far as times.
Okay.
They, you know, it was cold, so they didn't want to keep people out in the cold any longer than they needed to, but they run a tight show. There was no...
You guys have to wear receivers?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, receiver. Pretty much at all times, if you want to kind of keep track of what's going on. They gave you the times that things needed to happen. If you weren't there,
you missed out.
Yeah,
right?
Or you go to the admin.
No transponders?
Yes.
Like, oh,
yeah.
You had to run
transponders. Yeah, we ran transponders.
Also. Okay.
They handled all the scoring and whatnot, they were out in a timely manner.
Wow.
You know, it's not like
some nights where you end up
they give you an hour intermission.
Right, and you end up after midnight.
Hour intermission for it. You know, they didn't mess around. There were no intermissions.
Wow.
You know, if they had to do a little track prep, that was a little different, but they handled it and got everybody back on the track.
Did you get a chance to look up in the stands? What did the stands look like?
A little bare. The weather was pretty tough. I would imagine they have a lot of following on. They simulcast it.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, it's a lot of slow racing. Yeah. And I think they were pretty reasonable as far as the price for like the whole weekend. But I think a lot of that's where they get a lot of their fan base,
mm-hmm.
Especially in situations where it's this cold or this far away from a lot of,
right,
you know,
right.
A lot of the fans. So, but
yeah,
but they handled it really well.
Families,
like
you know, from back east or Midwest to be able to pull it up and watch it live.
Right.
Through Flow Racing.
Yep.
Of course, Flow Racing, part of Chet's deal, Christner's deal. So it's cool. And he had talked about some of the deals that they had with Flow Racing. If you had, didn't they have like an annual membership or something like that you can get and see all the races that you want and stuff. So check out flowracing.com. And that would be something cool to do.
Mm-hmm.
So without prompt plan,
looks like a full
Mojave
season at Tonopah.
do they have a full season at Tonopah?
I believe 6 races scheduled.
Okay.
Yeah, starting Memorial Day weekend.
Okay.
Which is also Jim Butler Days up there.
Oh, that's their big race.
So it's a good time. The whole town kind of celebrates it all. So it's definitely something to put on the list to one that you might want to check out. The car counts are good. The crowd, you know, the stands were overflowing last year.
I'm assuming they're going to be bigger car counts because of Pahrump. So a lot of
I would assume
go race up there.
You know, until we find out what's going to happen there.
Right.
So we'll see.
Haven't been to Tonopah. You've actually been there before.
Yep. Went to watch.
What do you think of that track? Is it a quarter mile or is it small?
It's small, like kind of like Pahrump.
It's
similar.
Yeah. Basically the same footprint. A little different material.
It's compound.
I'd say it's a little sandier.
Have you raced there before?
I have. Yeah,
How's your car handle?
Oh, it loved it.
Yeah, really.
It loved it.
That's good.
So
you got something to look forward to when you go race up.
We were able to run basically some old beat up Hoosiers on them with 8-inch wheels, and the car loved it. Actually, the muddier the better. So hopefully they water the piss out of it again. But as of right now, without Pahrump, you know, see if we can do a full schedule up in Tonopah.
Cool.
It's a fun track, great atmosphere.
You know, out of all the talk that you've been talking about, you not once mentioned doing asphalt racing. Is that anything that you ever thought about possibly doing?
I don't think so. In my childhood, Dad always raced dirt track,
right.
And when we finally got started in it, it was Pahrump on the dirt track,
right.
And basically, we only went to the bull ring because the track closed out there in Pahrump for a year. So, otherwise, I don't know if we'd ever made the move. that's what my dad's roots were in with dirt track. So we probably would have stuck with dirt tracks.
Yeah,
but,
you know, there's plenty of them around this area where you don't have to just do like asphalt if that was your only other option because Pahrump closed down. You got Mojave Valley. Have you raced at Mojave before? And is that something that do they race? You know, I don't even know if they race.
I think it's street stocks there.
Yeah.
I know the Camaros run there.
Is that something you?
Possibly. I mean, it's geared right for it right now. So
because really, I mean, you're in any direction you go, isn't it? actually closer to go to Mojave than it would be to Tonopah.
Yeah. Yeah, Tonopah is about 4 hours, I think.
Yeah. And what do you think? Mojave's three, maybe?
Three, yeah.
Like that.
Yeah.
So pretty
about
close.
Three.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never raced on the track. I've been there to spectate.
That's a fun track, too. I like, you know, I actually raced mini stocks on there, but I've never did a whole season there or anything like that. But I like that track. It's a fun track.
It sounds like the Myers are really turning it around, too. You know, they picked up all the IMCA sanctioning.
Huh?
Yeah, there's four classes there that are sanctioned now. Modified sport mods, stock cars, and sport compacts.
Cool. Wow. So, interesting. Okay.
So they're moving in the right direction. I know they just did improvements to the track as well. All LED lighting.
Wow.
And they were replacing the dirt, the surface with some clay that they found. So,
no kidding. Well, that'd be interesting.
It sounds like they're really working with the drivers to make it a driver's track.
Premier track. Well, that's cool. If you've never been there, you should check it out. You know, you follow the signs and you'll think you're in the wrong place. Like, oh, I got a U-turn. Just about when you think you got a U-turn, you'll see the track.
Yeah.
But it's cool to get out in the middle of nowhere like that. You get back there. And their stands are always full. You know, the car counts have always been decent. And I'm talking years ago since I've been there, so it's been a long time. But back then, there was a really good car counts.
I'd say it's been about 4 or 5 years since Harold and I went out there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, might be something to go check out.
But the initial plan is Tonopah.
Yeah.
When's the next race?
Memorial Day weekend.
So that is
that's their opener.
That big race. Okay.
Yep.
All right. So that's actually your main plan is Memorial.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. At the very least, we'll try to make a full season there.
Sweet.
If Pahrump opens back up, we'll have some fun in Pahrump.
Any gossip? Any word? Any hearsay?
Couldn't find out much, man. We're trying.
Was it a surprise to a lot of people that all of a sudden this?
He's been talking about how it's for sale for.
Yeah, but they came out with the full schedule, and then all of a sudden it was like, we got to postpone the schedule.
Well, there were a few red flags.
Yeah.
For me, when the dwarf cars didn't schedule anything, and then the awards banquet that didn't happen, then they just kind of said, pick up your trophy at the trophy shop.
They've done that before, though, didn't they? That is bad news.
Yeah. So,
to me, that's always...
I mean, no points fund.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It kind of seemed like somebody checked out on, at that point. So it's kind of red flags.
Yeah. Well, hopefully the track doesn't go away.
Oh, I agree.
The track's been there for a long time.
And it's a great track. I don't want to
need some upgrades, of course. It's been there a long time.
Right.
And hopefully...
Properly run, and don't take that the wrong way, but properly run, it's a gem.
Yeah.
It is a
true diamond in the
that
desert.
That track being so close to the half mile after the duel.
There is
no reason that they shouldn't have a race the day after the duel.
That was a good idea when they started doing that.
And
the day after the duel.
You know, just promote the piss out of it. Those guys they traveled, some of them.
They want to race.
From another country.
They came over here
They come down from Canada to race, another weekend before they have to put the car away. They're going to drive. They're
going
to drive another hour to get one last one in.
I always thought that was a great idea when they did that. How many years did they do that? Once or twice?
Just one year.
Just one year.
I thought that was the greatest idea they ever came up with.
And
I don't know why they didn't continue.
I don't know. I mean, it could have been huge.
How many guys, followers, would have?
Absolutely.
That would have been.
Because you get one of them that says, hey, I'm getting one more in. And all of his buddies that travel
like,
the same distance.
There's another race.
There's another one.
An hour and a half from here?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're there.
We're going to get another one.
Yeah, exactly.
And, I mean, that's just, obviously one.
I thought that was
for
great.
Instance, with that track, it never ceases to amaze me every time, there's a new promoter for that track or whatnot. Or just the beginning of the season. It doesn't matter how many times you let down the folks in Pahrump be it running really late or, being too cold or whatever. They always show up.
They keep coming back.
They always do. They are so loyal to that track. And it's a shame because, they get let down. You can see it kind of degrade,
Yeah.
So they're kind of like Cubs fans.
But then they'll right. come back at the beginning of the next, you know, the next season. They're there. You know, the
right.
whole family's there with them. So they're very forgiving, and they deserve a just a well-run program out there. You know, it's a great little track with some work to a few things. You know, you could keep it a great little track and you know, get enough cars and spectators that you can run sanctions and have things very competitive. And, you know, there's just a lot of opportunities there that, you know, hopefully whoever purchased it you know, can see that and
right.
is going to run with that, because it is a big opportunity.
Yeah, they used to be a ISA sanctioned track
for many
years.
I think at one point they actually carried it on the modified and the sport mods.
Yeah. Okay.
But, I mean, you know, who can blame the modified drivers for not wanting to go there if it's not sanctioned?
Right.
Because they can go to one and be earning points, you know.
Exactly.
So,
yeah, that's true.
I know it costs money to carry the sanction, but at the same time,
it also brings
it's going to bring them, yeah.
Yeah, that's the whole point. You know, and, you know, if you're struggling and you're sanctioned track, you probably could reach out to IMCA to kind of help.
Right.
Promote a race there or something like that.
Sure.
Try to get the drivers
sure.
to go there, where without the IMCA, then you're just mostly your local guys,
right.
you know, going to be.
And they, and one of the problems out there is they ran too many races. I think they had 23 dates.
They've always had 23
this year.
24.
They had 22, and I think they added this weekend was supposed to be.
Yeah.
They
wow.
had added it on originally. I'm like, Give people a chance to work on their
great,
stuff.
Right.
Yeah. No, in years past, they've had 22 to 24
yeah.
every year.
Yeah, beginning
every
of February
weekend.
To the end of November.
Yeah, right. There's a lot of racing, and I mean, I don't know why they do that, but my assumption is because the more races, of course, the more income you get
right.
with the smaller car counts.
Well,
but,
especially
but,
if you have the loyal fans.
Yeah.
But then they ran eight classes.
Right. And see, that's where it is. So
you know,
to me, if you cut the races in half.
Right. Run four,
right.
run one, you know, weekend. Then, you know, two
right.
weeks later, run
the
other half.
Yep, split
the
divisions
yeah.
up. So if you're a Cam Coupe fan, then you'll wait till those are
right.
running and go watch them.
And not to mention, maybe there's somebody that runs the modified that has an old Cam Coupe sitting
yeah,
behind the shop.
Close, right.
Hey, modifieds aren't running that weekend, but Cam Coupes are. I can go have some fun,
yeah,
you know.
There you go.
It would definitely increase car count and would keep people from getting bored.
Sold. You're the new promoter of that track.
Yeah. right. But, yeah.
I know back in 01, 02, 03 out there in Vegas, we would race 2 weeks in a row, a week off, race a week,
I hated
a week
that.
Off, and race 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, it was...
Yeah, they used to do that. They used to have 16 races a year out there at some point, and I hated that myself.
Yeah.
Until I got a car that I didn't have to really do anything on.
Right.
Then it was okay. Then I was like, I used to park it, you know, used to go in.
When I didn't have to work on my car
right.
every week.
Yeah, I just didn't need
that
stuff. Then it was okay. I was like, I'll just go out there, and then, you know, I didn't have to work on it. But when I did,
let me know how
job.
You race not
yeah.
having to work on your car every week.
It was a pretty solid car. At the very, it was a mini stock Toyota back in the day, but
gotcha.
But yeah. Anyways, sponsors, real quick, you want to talk?
Hobbs
about?
And Heffer Saloon, as always, been
same
part
place,
of our race.
Yeah, over there,
absolutely down to the Third and Ogden. Go down, have a beer, watch the girls dance on the bar. Also, Evil Twin Hair Designs.
Okay.
If you need haircut, color, anything like that.
Can they paint on hair?
Maybe.
Okay.
She might be good with an airbrush. I have to.
Oh, his hair.
Yeah, his hair.
I'd like to order the Max Headroom.
Yeah. I have to thank Harold for all the help over the weekend. Couldn't have done it without him. So thank you. And obviously my girlfriend, she puts up with a lot of crap. Oh, and also, if you get a chance, go on the XR's site and get to interview me during the week.
Oh,
yeah,
I'm not sure, but there was put something on Facebook Live right here.
Okay,
so
gotcha.
I'm not sure if that's what
it
is.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, check it out. xr.com. Got tons of races scheduled.
We're going to look forward to that. Thank you for
having me. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
Because I've been bored with you.
No, we never do. It's always just my two kids.
I do.
We appreciate you joining us. Bye. 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 Thanks again.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you.
Thanks for listening.